Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. I'm Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the Intel Network Builders Summit in The Hague, Netherlands. I'm delighted to be joined by Angela Whiteford, Vice President of Marketing and Product Management at Affirm Networks. Welcome, Angela. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So I think this is the first time that Affirm Networks has been on Chip Chat. Can you tell me a little bit about the company and your role there?
Affirmed is a virtual network function provider, VNF provider. And our claim to fame is that we build virtualized mobile networks. We are the leader in this space. We have over 40 networks deployed to date and multiple millions of subscribers running on them.
What is the key differentiator between a virtual mobile network and a virtual network?
So the concept of virtualization has been around for a while. The ability to abstract applications from the underlying resources makes a ton of sense, and hence why VMware and others have done so well in the market. When you move to a telecom environment and when you move to a mobile environment, things change a bit. What happens is you're actually dealing with packet forwarding applications versus transactional web type applications. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's all about performance and it's all about efficiency. You need to be able to squeeze the largest amount of throughput and sessions in a very small footprint to get the maximum efficiency out of an NFV architecture, out of a virtualized architecture. Mobile operators are hearing the claims of, you know, 50 to 70% total cost of ownership savings, CapEx and OpEx. You're not going to get that if you just took, you know, your hardware-based application, applied the concept of virtualization to it, basically took the hardware stuff, stuck it in a shim and virtualized it. You're not going to see those numbers. Mm-hmm. You really need to architect for telco applications. You've got to architect it in a different way. And that's something we came to the market with.
And when you talk about those efficiencies, I don't think comm service providers are going to move to virtualized networks just for efficiency if it's going to sacrifice quality of service.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. So I always talk about virtualization in two waves. The first wave was what I mentioned earlier about x86 and software, but the second wave is all about new services. Your point about service quality comes into play. So how do you measure that? And one of the things that you do with the VNFs, the virtual network functions, is that you've got to embed monitoring capabilities. In the hardware world, you had these taps. You could actually just tap into the wire and probe the network. How do you tap a VM? What do you do? So what we've done is for every single VNF, we have a virtual probe co-located with the VNF. And what it does is it streams in real time comprehensive data records all the way down, you know, session, bearer, flow level, and streams them out real time to whatever big data analytics system the operator wants us to dump it to. It's all in open format, Google protobuf format, so they can slice it and dice it how they want. There are other folks that call themselves virtual probes out there, but what happens is these probes actually impact the performance of the VNF. So when they try to probe the VNF, they can actually cut the performance in half of the VNF, which defeats the purpose of the value of virtualization.
Now tell me about Affirm Networks' approach and what you've been able to do with the VEPC.
One of the things that we did is we really built an advanced virtualized architecture. We did not have a hardware-based solution that we shoved into a virtualized solution. We built the solution from ground up to be cloud native. Simple examples of that are we build these composite VNFs. So we build a composite EPC, for example, and a composite P-gateway, a composite S-gateway, a composite MME. What that means is the composite is comprised of VMs that have certain personalities. They represent capacity dimensions. So you can have a VM for I/O or throughput. You can have a VM for sessions. You can have a VM for signaling. You can have a VM for proxy functions like video optimization, for example. And so what happens is you can take all these different personalities and you can assemble them based on the application you're running. So if I'm running an IoT application, it might have very low throughput, very high number of sessions, and a moderate amount of signaling. So I take the different VM personalities and build them up to build that particular packet core. If I'm doing a consumer application, I might have a ton of sessions, moderate to high throughput, and a moderate to high amount of signaling. I would build up those personalities a different way. But the bottom line is this, I am not stranding capacity. If I need more I/O, I don't have to overinvest in signaling or sessions to do that. When you look at a fixed architecture or blade architecture, or even the pseudo virtualized architectures, that's what's happening. We're coming back to the efficiency play. To build telco-grade virtualized mobile architectures, you really have to build these advanced type architectures because you want, again, pack the most amount of sessions and throughput in the smallest footprint possible and get the performance that you need.
Now, we've just barely scratched the surface on IoT use cases, and it looks like we've got the next gen of critical IoT, to use your nomenclature, with autonomous. This is an area where persistence is going to be highly critical. Tell me a little bit about how you would support connected cars and autonomous driving for network provisioning.
This is where the concept of network slicing comes in. Mm-hmm. So you can have a common resource infrastructure, but you're actually going to have different networks. You know, if I'm going to be tracking cows in a farm, I'm probably going to use an NB-IoT application. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing connected car, I'm going to be using an LTE-LTE-M application. We're doing that with Cubic Telecom right now. It's a connected car application. It's not just telematics, which doesn't have to be always on, but it's also basically a Wi-Fi hotspot in the car. They're doing both. And in that situation, you know, more of an LTE-LTE-M application makes sense. Mm-hmm. You can slice the network to support both. You can have a slice for NB-IoT, and you can for massive IoT with NB-IoT, and you can have connected car application with an LTE-LTE-M. You can absolutely do that today. Two different networks, same network architecture.
Where do you think the comm service providers are in terms of actually thinking about deploying their networks in this way?
You know, all the big guys are doing it. It's ready for prime time. It's ready to go. It's just the legacy vendors out there are still creating some FUD in the market, honestly. They make it sound like NFV is for small deployments or IoT-only deployments or things like that. We have great examples with our over 40 networks where we see consumer, MVNO and MVNE, IoT, enterprise applications. We've seen the gamut. We don't just do EPC. We do a virtualized Wi-Fi gateway as well. And we've got some very large deployments of Wi-Fi systems and train stations.
How does this lay the foundation for 5G?
5G architectures are software defined. The foundation of 5G is all about NFV and SDN. Your architecture, your fundamental underlying architecture has to be NFV SDN based. The other piece of it is there's some key capabilities there around automated configuration management and probing. In the NGMN Alliance report that was written by operators, they said, I need an architecture that's agile and that can support virtualized functions as well as legacy functions because we're going to live in a hybrid world. Automated configuration management platforms, Affirmed has something called Affirm Service Automation Platform, or ASAP for short. This allows operators to go in a GUI-based interface, configure services, stitch together services across legacy and virtualized functions, like creating a new enterprise service, onboarding an MVNO, creating a zero rating service. It takes the data-driven model and then it pushes it down to VNFs and PNFs. It doesn't matter if you're talking NetConf, Yang, REST, CLI. That's a critical capability for 5G. The other one is the probing that I mentioned. That's where self-monitoring VNFs are going to come into play. These are all foundations for 5G. And so operators can take two paths. They can say, look, I'm going to stick with my legacy and I'm going to do a huge rip to go to 5G, or I'm going to start adopting the NFV architectures now, and then it's going to be a small uplift to 5G.
Revolutionary or evolutionary,
exactly.
It's your choice.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, Affirm Networks is a member of the Intel Network Builders program. Tell me why a program of breadth of ecosystem is critical to moving this path forward.
Performance, performance, performance. And that's where Intel comes into play. I'll give two very specific examples. Every time Intel comes out with a new chipset, we see directly correlated a 30% bump in our performance. We have to do nothing except work with Intel and leverage the chipset work, all the hard work you're doing. The other thing is the DPDK kit in terms of performance has allowed us to find this great, I don't want to say happy medium, but you know, operators are saying I either have vSwitch or I have SRIOV if I want to get to performance. Now with DPDK enabled OVS, I see performances of 70-80% of line right now with mm-hmm. that. A third one is with our virtualized Wi-Fi gateway. In order to do untrusted Wi-Fi, EPDG, for example, you need to build a lot of IPsec tunnels. And typically to do that IPsec encryption, you have to do it in hardware. We were able to leverage Intel's crypto libraries. We do all the IPsec in software.
Nice.
We're the only vendor who can do that right now. We can support over 1 million IPsec encrypted tunnels per blade.
Wow.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's with the partnership with Intel.
That's offering incredible value. Angela, one final question for you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I know that we've probably piqued the interest of folks listening online about Affirm Networks offerings. Where can they go to find out more information?
www.affirmnetworks.com.
Thank you so much for being on the program today. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.